time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Happy Monday, Tax Day, April 15, 2019. Good to have you here with us. Everybody, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment, as we say each week, is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We're glad to be a part of the Industry Syndicate, industrysyndicate.com. Check it out. And then also, we're getting the privilege to do some articles on Fox, so we're getting some feedback on those articles. I'm traveling so much, I don't get a chance to be on as much, so I'm grateful to have the opportunity to write for them. We're talking about millennials and the housing and market. Love to get any data points you have out there, and I'll give you a shout-out when I write the article. Next week, I am excited to have with us Mike Frattantoni. I caught up with him at the tech conference, and I'm really looking forward to having Michael on. Again, he's the chief economist, senior vice president of research and industry technology for the MBA, and we're going to be grateful to have him on. But today, we have in the Hot Topic segment, Gabe Mitten, executive vice president and chief information officer, CIO at Guild Mortgage. We're going to be talking about the latest developments in technology. Gabe has been a long-standing friend of mine and very instrumental in technology. Started Ms. Mo. She started one of our committees a long, long, long time ago. It's actually Eddie Jazario did, who's now Freddie Mac. Then Gabe picked it up, and then it became Ms. Mo. Gabe was at the MBA and led that initiative. So he's got a lot of knowledge, great perspective on what's going on. We're having him help us sort out the various levels. Everything's getting lumped into the artificial intelligence a category, and he's going to help us sort it out, stratify it. You're going to definitely want to stay tuned all the way through to the end of the podcast. He will not be live with us. We pre-recorded this late last week. I'm so excited to have him here with us by a recording. You'll want to listen to it, as well as all the series we're doing on artificial intelligence. Very important. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Grateful to have the partnership. We're going to hear from Rob in just a minute, as well as Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions, and Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans and the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Also, we're grateful to have Finastra back as an advertiser. They have their Fusion Mortgage Bot solution that automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced power and satisfaction, increased productivity, and greater amount of market share comes as a result of using their technology. Had an opportunity to interview at the ICBA, Eric, with one of the banks in Iowa. Excited to have him on, have him share his journey. It's really made a difference in their company. Also, a special thank you to Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these are mortgage co-ops that create competitive advantages for both lenders and vendor members. It allows you to either one of these organizations, some people belong both, but you're able to get to know industry leaders in an up-close and personal way. Then also, Velma, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform that we use. The word out on this, if you're not on the mailing list, please get a hold of us, send us your email, and we will make sure that you get the information. Also, Knowledge Scoop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. And then finally, Vidyard, an online video platform for businesses that allows them to increase leads and accelerate your message out to your pipeline as well as prospects. Then, of course, I want to say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions to this podcast each and every week. Let's run out and get the MBA Mortgage Minute from Rob Van Rapphorst. Rob, what you got?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the House of Representatives passed H.R. 1957, the Taxpayer First Act of 2019. H.R. 1957 and its Senate companion, S-928, is the first legislative reform to the Internal Revenue Service in nearly two decades. Among the many provisions, the bill includes language to automate the 4506T tax transcript process. Also last week, the House Financial Services Committee heard from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Mnuchin faced a broad range of inquiries, including a focus on both the role of the FSOC and implementation of the FASB CECL accounting standard. Some committee members expressed concerns that the CECL could have drastic pro-cyclical repercussions on the GSEs and credit unions. And finally, mortgage rates inched back up last week, but remained substantially lower than they were in the second half of last year. However, this spring's lower borrowing costs, coupled with the strong job market, continue to push purchase application volume much higher. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, we were talking to Alice ahead of the just before we went live here, and she was saying how Union Home's doing real well. It's really good to see that the lower rates are helping all the lenders around our community here. So real grateful for the partnership with the MBA. Be sure to register for the upcoming MBA Secondary Marketing Conference. I'll be there, as well as others that are going to be people you want to meet there at the conference. But if you're going to be going, I'd love to connect with you while you're there. Also want to say, you know, at these conferences, sure to download and use the LFI Shuffle business card. It's a tool that I use to connect with people. It's something I recommend you to check it out. Go to our website at the upper right-hand corner, see where it says business card, digital business card, and be sure to download it, try it out. Look forward to sharing with you my card. Let's run over to listen to Les Parker with TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogix. And when deals die and when they're gone, there'll be one more vote and a move to carry on, to carry on. Well, the verdict is in on Brexit. It's a hung jury with one more vote to carry on to another vote until it dies naturally. The uncertainty constrains the UK economy and drags on the Eurozone broadly. No wonder the European Central Bank declares they will use any tool to lift growth. Whatever it takes becomes push any button and pull any lever like the Wizard of Oz. The market is starting to ignore the tools of all central banks. Inflation is falling in advanced economies, and GDP signs point down. There'll be loose money for a world to carry on, to carry on. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Love that old song. Good job, Les. Appreciate that. Shout out to Gary as well for the work he does and they put into that. Appreciate that. Joe Farr is here. He and I are both mobile today. I'm in Austin. He's out by where I live.
Hi, Dave.
In Marble Falls. Joe, good to have you here, friend.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
not much going on today, Dave.
Yeah.
Stock market's down just a little bit. I hadn't looked at the bond prices in the last half an hour or so, but they weren't doing much. Looking at last week, you know, Rob Van Rapphorst mentioned that mortgage rates had fallen last week, and I think he was probably using data that was collected in a survey early in the week. Later in the week, if you look at the week in total, MBS prices fell about 40 basis points, which means mortgage yields would have risen, you know, 6 or 7 basis points. So mortgage rates actually rose in real time. Yeah, some of the cause of the rise, it's a little hard to pinpoint there because there was data both ways, going both ways, which kind of led to no change in the stock market. But, you know, to cause rates to rise, some good things happened. Progress with the trade talks with China, growth in manufacturing in China was a big element. Yeah, the Brexit deadline was extended, so the hard Brexit that was feared has been kicked down the road, and maybe something better will come from that. And then new job claims fell during the week, and they fell to the lowest level they've been since 1969. So that was a pretty favorable thing for the job market. Now, looking at the other side of things, which could have caused rates to improve, as was mentioned earlier, central bank policy, both the Fed minutes and then the actual ECB meeting announcements indicated that both are willing to provide more stimulus if needed. And anytime there's more stimulus, it's usually good for stocks and bonds. CPI fell to 2%. That's down from 2.1 the month before and 2.2 the month before that. So it's trending in the right direction. JOLTS indicated that job openings fell as well as new hires, which was a change in direction for that report.
Yeah.
It is February data, so maybe we'll see a little better data in March. And then consumer sentiment fell in March. trade tensions grew with the EU. You know, we're picking fights with everyone, it seems like. Both the U.S. and the EU have threatened tariffs against each other if one does it, the other will. And, you know, that could have a negative effect on stocks and oftentimes has a positive effect on bonds. And then looking at this week, Dave, there is just not a lot I can point to say, watch out. There's, you know, the only thing on the calendar, really, that I'd say pay attention to is retail sales number on Thursday. A nice rebound in March sales is expected from some very weak February sales. But other than that, you know, there could be further progress with the trade talks with China, but there's not a set event or an announcement day. More could come from the trade issues with the EU. Brexit shouldn't be much of an effect this week since it's been granted such a long extension. Other than retail sales, industrial production, home builders, housing market index comes out tomorrow. And then on Friday, housing starts comes out. Like the retail sales, March is expected to show a nice increase over February activity. So, you know, it could be a pretty benign week for mortgage rates without too much to point to.
I appreciate you dialing in, and I know you have a busy day ahead of you. I appreciate you coming in today and dialing in and sharing us this update.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting. Brexit is like a tennis match. You just watch your head go back and forth. Is it on? Is it on? So we'll see. But anyway, no, it should be a pretty benign week. But good. It's overall encouraging to see how the overall macro trend of interest rates has certainly been going in a better direction. So it'll be real fun to have you participate in next week's interview with our good friend, Mike Brenton, Tony. So appreciate you, friend. Have a great week.
Okay.
And talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
You bet. Here's Scott Gordon with Open Mortgage talking about the science of sales. Scott?
It's been ingrained in us since we were kids that every time someone says, thank you, you're supposed to say, you're welcome. It's expected. But what if I told you that your expected behavior is not building a bridge? One of the fundamental aspects of meaningful relationships is the understanding that you and your partner are in it together. So you help each other out with no need to expect gratitude for favors or services because you expect them to do the same for you someday. Instead of saying, you're welcome, simply say, hey, I know you do the same for me. This changes the dynamic of your relationship. It builds upon the science of reciprocity and implies that you now have the relationship where favors are freely exchanged. This is a minor change in your day-to-day communication, but the results could be huge. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
That's good, Scott. Appreciate that. Love the science of sales segment. Get a lot of positive feedback on that. By the way, I forgot to tell you all at the beginning of the program. Yeah, there's a little text that came out before. I forgot to tell all y'all that we have we're using the LinkedIn website for getting feedback from our customers. Getting some people, we had two more requests just come in while we were doing the podcast to join the Lickin' on Lending LinkedIn page. So you can be sure, if you're not a member of it, be sure to connect with it. We are going to be using that for ways to get feedback and get more ideas for things that you guys want us to cover. One topic that always is welcomed is the weekly regulatory update with Alice Alvey. I guess legislative, regulatory, all rolled into one. Alice, good to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, everybody. Well, since it's tax day, I thought I'd talk about, you know, this time of year is always a challenge from an underwriting and documentation standpoint for borrowers, right? Because this is the day, or I should say tomorrow, becomes the day where now we have to deal with, they file an extension, and we really want that 2018 tax return, especially as you know, the borrower's income is always better in the most recent year, right? Right. So just a few reminders for everybody on how this works this time of year, where you're dealing with kind of the three things. Did they file an extension? Did they owe a lot of tax? And now I need to document, you know, that they paid that. And of course, you have to source those funds just like anything else. And then the third thing is the tax transcript. How does that work now? And I'm going to throw in a little bonus. So just a quick update for everybody, right, that you now have that I'm going to have to support that my borrower actually filed an extension, but keep and have that documentation in the loan file and then still run a transcript. And since the return probably hasn't been reviewed by the IRS yet, you'll probably get a no record found, but that's still needed. So if the loan requires a transcript at your company, typically, then you're still going to have to get it for this year, but it's just going to be a validation that there's no record found. So check your company guidelines on exactly how they want you to handle it between, you know, your pay stub borrowers and your P&L, whether or not you're going to need a P&L now. If they did say they filed an extension and we're going to be getting into, you know, more than 120 days into the year where we now need to verify income. The tax return from 2017 is getting a little old, so we're going to need some updated information to cover 2018. Then another real important date is June 15th. Keep in mind that the agencies need you to actually provide a tax transcript starting on that day. So you don't get to go all the way till the typical tax extensions till October, right? So for the super procrastinators and super abuses why they can't file till October, the agencies won't let you go that far. So for qualifying, we've got to get those returns in so that we can actually get a tax transcript after that June 15th mark. So keep that in mind. And then just as a side note for the tax law changes, remember that the agencies now, since we don't have a 2106 from the 2018 return format now, that they changed their auto allowance policies and the need to go back and count those expenses against the borrower for commission. So make sure you check your agency guides on that now that we're past April 15th. So that's my quick update for today, Dave. A little tax transcript and tax return reminder.
That's good. There's some great tips in there. Really important stuff. This new tax law, if you start thinking about it, yeah, it does have an impact on how things are reported and what we're going to be doing with it. Good stuff. Excellent. Really appreciate it. And,
you're welcome.
And it was good. And it's good to hear that Union Home is doing so well. We're thrilled to have you be here with us each and every week. So wish everyone up there our very best and happy tax day to all y'all.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. You bet. We're going to run over and listen to Nathan with Knowledge Group. Give us an update on how you can improve and communicate effectively training. That wonderful topic. Some of the most exciting. Only Alice has the ability to make things so exciting. But if you're using the right technology like Knowledge Group, it can help. That's without further ado. Nathan, what you got for us?
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Group. Are you a teacher or coach either professionally or aspirationally? Then let me share these words from Ben Franklin as inspiration. Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I may remember. But involve me and I learn. Benjamin Franklin's famous quote has since been proven by science and educators, and they now call it experiential learning, and it's sage advice for anyone in the mortgage industry. So do you have some training to do? Then check out the Knowledge Cube for fun and easy video-based training for mortgage professionals out there, and it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Yeah, check that out. It's really interesting how smart that platform is. It's very effective. We're always talking more and more about videos. I'm working with a couple of people that do videos regularly, and I'm hoping to get them on. We're going to be doing a lot on technology. We're talking about chatbots and all of those tools. But we're going to also be really focusing on the importance of using videos. I'm coaching an executive right now on this, and he said, Dave, I'm having trouble. He's a warehouse lender, and he said I'm having trouble connecting with people, getting people to call me back. And I said, hey, text him a video with a personal message. He did, and he was blown away. He says, I can't believe the difference that has made. So just one little tip. He had to pay for the coaching to get that. You get it for free because you're a listener on the podcast. Another thing you get for free is Alan Pollack on a weekly tech update and all that's going on. Alan, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for letting me be here again.
Letting you? We love having you here.
I'm just kidding. So this is going to be a great conversation leading into the spotlight later. So here's what we're doing. We're going to talk about the odds of beating IBM Watson, Enode, AI, and one real millennial. Are you ready? Let's do it.
All right. In 6 minutes, you fit all that in. Okay, go for it.
We're going to do it. Golf Digest, you want to check this story out. First, we all know Tiger Woods collected his fifth green jacket this weekend, winning the Masters. He broke a tie with Arnold Palmer for the second most master titles, and he's trailing just behind Jack Nicklaus with 6 victories in Augusta. So we'll see. I'm sure there's more to come with Tiger. And what's kind of funny is there's this article that says he beat the artificial intelligence of IBM Watson. And, you know, the article, I'm just going to give you a couple quick points from it, but it says, you know, this year for the first time, the Masters used enterprise-grade AI to capture every shot by all 89 players in the field. It's a three-minute highlight video for themasters.com almost instantly at the end of each round. This was all done in conjunction with IBM Watson.
That was amazing. And, I love that.
Yeah, and even more fascinating, the IBM cloud stored and integrated data for every shot, measuring multiple items, the crowd roar, the player gestures, hand and arm and facial movements, you name it, create an overall excitement score. Tiger broke the computer model multiple times because the crowd roars were typically louder than everyone else, even other people combined. He had a perfect 1.0 score in many holes for crowd reaction. So
Wow. Interesting
what they're
interesting.
Yeah, we've talked in the past about, you know, artificial intelligence in sports. You want to check it out. It's a great article. And, you know, especially IBM Watson has become such a big name in a lot of the artificial intelligence and things out there, especially chatbots and conversational AI and so forth. I thought this was interesting. This is a different topic, David. This is e-notes. You know that the use of e-notes this year has skyrocketed nearly 5,000%. E-notes registered on the MERS system has increased substantially this first quarter, and they're saying a rise in the digital version of the promissory note. Here's the interesting stats, though. Last year, the eMERS registry only received 17,000 e-notes in the entire year. This year, in the first quarter, they received 19,000. And in the first quarter of last year, they only received 375. So there was over a 4,000% increase last year. And there's, you know, of course, over a 5,000% increase this year. And as we've talked about in the past, eNotes and MERS is owned by the ICE. And we've talked about, hey, what could happen? What do you think they're doing with all that data? Well, I won't make any assumptions, but we'll keep you abreast of the situation as we hear more information. And then, David, you know, I said in the beginning, we're going to talk about AI. Well, this is kind of interesting. This is an article that I found online. It was at Think 2000. It's actually called IBM Think 2019. And it states, AI is not going to replace managers, but managers who use AI will replace the managers who do not. And I thought that was a great piece of feedback. They also
That is very interesting.
Yeah. It's a $16 trillion opportunity. Artificial intelligence will fundamentally change every business process, every role, and how organizations impact their industries. And so if you think about it, that was generic and specific to the world of, you know, business, and they are just so right. You know, I want to get back to what we talked about last week, Boston Consulting Group. If you remember, they put out this survey. They don't typically do a digital mortgage survey, and it was the first one. I read you the first two items. So if you remember, just a quick recap, they talked to a number of bank service providers and vendors, and they found 46 digital solution features falling into eight categories. And I remember the first two I mentioned, one was saving for a home and two was finding a home. So what we're saying is, hey, these are features that your borrowers, your new customers are interested in learning about. I'm going to read the other ones real quick, and then I'm going to talk about a real millennial I spoke to today. So number three in these features that they summed up is managing expectations. Features that guide and educate borrowers through the home purchase process are important, right? Understanding loan terms, answering questions, providing affordability, payment calculators. Number four is connecting customers, right? Finding ways to help people get that human connection. How do you give them the advice that they don't have? Number five was early commitment, clear and early communication with integrations to provide instant pre-approval letters. Seven was document management, of course, you know, that process of integrating and helping to upload and obtain documents, acquire them. And eighth was support services, additional support post-closing. So really, if you think about everything that the Boston Consulting Group found across all those features, it all is relatable to the experience of the customer. Yes, e-notes and all these other things are ways that we're going to be able to stay in business and be better and more accurate, but the customer will always need to stay at the point of focus. And so, David, we're just under 6 minutes. I think we're going to make it just in time. And I mentioned that only because I'm going to continue to use some time here because you and I joke about this all the time. So in the last 15 seconds, I spoke to a millennial myself today. And what they said is just bought a home. They said that they don't trust the computer. It always has issues. Internet is spotty. They get frustrated. The realtor mentioned someone that they trust is worthiness of speaking to them. They went to the person's office. they went digital on everything after they spoke with that trustworthy person, but they did go online to find the home. They did look at initial calculators, and they found that what the rate and price was online was different than what happened in the end, and they were frustrated as first-time home buyers. There was a difference of about $300-$400. They didn't factor in some of the things that we need to educate them on. If you think about what Boston Consulting Group just said, overall, they said that they would use chatbots and artificial intelligence if it was a personalized experience with their existing bank.
There you go. There you go.
That's really important. It's the personalization. And I think the thing that I'm learning as I study this topic and spending a lot of time studying is how conversational it is getting. It's, you know, you have the chatbot, and that are kind of can be rules based, and you get all the way out to the AI world, and it's pretty interesting. Exciting stuff. Thanks. Appreciate you. Good job in getting that all fit in too in a timely manner. We're all listeners, and we're all trying to get this through so we get to the hot topic a little bit faster. We appreciate everyone's efforts to do that. So Alan, you did an awesome job covering a lot of great material and did it well. Look forward to talking to you again soon. I appreciate you, friend.
Thank you. Talk to you.
Thank you. I love the Masters stuff. Andy, did you watch the Masters, or were you working on your taxes?
Hey, Dave.
Or both.
I was actually working on my taxes and working on my doctorate, but I saw the replay. It was pretty amazing. I wish I had watched it. I actually forgot about it.
I think we all cheer on comebacks, Andy. I mean, you and I both have had comebacks and in our careers, and we see clients having comebacks, and it's fun to be participating in helping those comebacks happen. So. One person was asking, it was a comment they texted in. He says, I'm not like Andy. I had to use someone else to use my taxes. I don't know how he does it. And so the question is, do you do your own taxes? I think you actually answered it. You were working on your own taxes. So,
yeah, I do the taxes for the company, and I do the taxes for myself, both. So, yeah, it's...
Wow.
You know, TurboTax really makes it easy, and they give you resources as well. So for the most part, most small businesses, you know, once you get a bunch of employees, you need to have a professional tax person, a tax CPA to help. And when you get really advanced, you might even need a tax lawyer as well, especially although CPAs can go to tax court. It's just good to, you know, hire a professional when it gets to be more than – especially if you've got big payments and potentially big deductions. If there's any kind of question around the deductibility of an item and you push the limit, you really need to have a CPA on board with you to document it at the very least and then be with you, because you're not going to find out if you're wrong for 2 or 3 years. So you need to have somebody who's got the resources to back it up, know what's right, know the gray area that you stepped into, and then be able to defend you in tax court. Because it's no big deal for the IRS to go to tax court. It's normal for them. But the place where they settle typically is you have to actually file the docket, and I've done this myself. You file the docket to appeal to tax court, and then all of a sudden the IRS will want to settle. Interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But you got to be able to get there. So you need a CPA to get you there if you ever have to. So aside from tax court, so today's tax day, be sure and file your taxes, pay your taxes. If you have any amount due, it's due today. Must be postmarked by this evening, so be sure and get it in the mail. If you want to file an extension, you need to do that today as well. If you have a tax refund, there's no penalty for not filing the extension, but it's just cleaner to file because that way it clicks off the flags and the IRS, just go ahead and file the extension, even though you got a refund. It's just simpler. It's just easier to comply with their rules. And then they're less likely to have you show up as audit risk or audit flags kicking in.
Great point.
The two things I wanted to talk about left are, we've got the webinar continuing. So this week is Hedge Accounting, Hedge Reports, Hedging Journal Entries, along with the distorting effect on the P&L, though. The reason that the P&L makes no sense, because we count the profit on locked loans. So when a loan is locked, we count the profit, and it makes the P&L make no sense. So we're going to talk about that. And then next week, we're going to talk about intangible asset valuation techniques to determine the fair value of the IRLC derivative asset. So that fifth session is really for CFOs. We're also talking about mortgage-backed security price adjustments and the impact on hedge positions. So that's kind of advanced. But some of this stuff CEOs need to understand as well. The other thing I want to talk about was how to make money in mortgage lending. And how to make money in mortgage lending.
That's a good topic.
Yes, I'm going to be careful to point this out. So how to make money in mortgage lending. So first off, the one thing that people debate somewhat, but not really if you get deep into the weeds, is that success is not random. As a matter of fact, it's by design, and that's one of the taglines of my new company, Dr. Shell, the Profit Doctor, is success by design, profit by design. These things don't just happen. You just don't walk down the street and find a $1 million bag of gold sitting on the corner. They happen because you make them happen. It's very much a purpose process, and that purpose process is really comprised of roughly four components, I'll just say, and that's plan, implement, measure, and adjust. And within those four areas are tons of detail, but I'm going to cover just a couple of them. So in planning, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have some sort of a financial forecast, and we're going to look at our volume, our expected gain on sale, the expenses we got to pay, the resulting cash flow. You got to have a plan, because if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So we are going to have a plan of I've heard you say that before. So we're going to have a plan of where we're going to go and how we're going to get there. We then have to implement. So it's plan, implement. We have to implement, and implement is through employees. We can't do it all ourselves. But it's not just any employee. It's employees who fit our designed culture. So that means you have to have a design for your culture. You have to communicate. You have to get alignment from your employees of where you're going, how you're going to get there, and then you have to manage and lead step by step by step, and that's with an implementation. Then as you're implementing, you also have to measure. So you have to look at your workflow activity. You know, what's the definition of a complete 1003? That's one of the biggest sticking points of lenders, is there's no definition of a 1003, and every originator does it differently, and it really mucks up the workflow when you get into processing because they don't really know who did what and what they should have done. So it's really important to deal with that, along with a timeline that has step-by-step process of how it moves and how much time each step takes. Along with that, in addition to workflow assessment, is profit assessment. So we want profit per loan. You can't have profit per loan unless you have profit per loan accounting, and you got to have that set up where you capture every expense on every loan. So that's another thing you got to do, and that's all part of measurement. So now we've planned, we've implemented, we're measuring, and we're going to look at our results, look at what we thought we were going to get, and look at what we got, and we're going to adjust. So we're going to adjust to identify the results versus the plan. Did it work like we thought it was going to work? If it didn't work like we thought it was going to work, then we're going to adjust. It's a continual adjustment. It's not just it's never set it and leave and go. It's always adjust. Implement the new plan. Adjust, implement, and then start all over again. So this is an iterative circle. Plan, implement, measure, adjust. It never stops. You're always adjusting. You're always planning. You're always addressing implementation. You're always measuring. You're always adjusting how things are done. And doing all of that will be success by design.
I like success by design. There's too many people out there doing it randomly. I mean, how many times have we heard it said, Andy, where they're out there and they're saying, well, yeah, what's your plan to turn your business around? We're hoping interest rates would fall. That's not a plan. That's a hope and a prayer and a poor one. I mean, you've got to be intentional. And I think it's so important that people figure out how to have a plan. And it's a financial plan. It's a strategy, anything. So those that want to get a hold of you, involve you in their strategy, how can they get a hold of you, Andy?
Andy at mbs-team.com. I'm going to be spooling up my Dr. Shell website here shortly, but it's not running yet.
Oh,
but yeah,
can't wait.
So Dr. Shell, the Profit Doctor, where I've trademarked Success by Design, but also for now, Andy at mbs-team.com.
Very good. That works.
I'm going to hook up
appreciate
with you, Dave,
you so
to
much.
Help you with my marketing. I'm going to get you to.
Oh, love it. Love it. You know, people say, where do you get some of your marketing ideas? I listen to I Love Marketing podcast. It is so good. I listened to a whole bunch of episodes this weekend, and that's a great resource. But, you know, Andy, anything I can do to help you in your success, I'm all about it. You do such a great job. You're such a great friend, and I appreciate you being here, friend. Have a blessed
you
one.
Too. Absolutely.
Great rest of the week. Let's go get some barbecue here soon.
Yeah, this week, I'm down.
All right. I'm around this week. We do it. There you go, folks. You're getting in on our barbecue planning here.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.